1907.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Hey, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, right. I'm doing good. It's it's been a good week.
Been rocking and rolling, man. Hey, how are things in the shop?
You know, they're going pretty good. It's been an eventful year. Yeah. You know, there is just so much sea change going on in the premium tobacco industry. And it's exciting. And you know, we've got a flux of new faces and customers and products and stuff. You know, every time I think I've got this business figured out, I just realize I really don't, man. I really don't. This is a 52-year-old business that just is spry and ever constantly changing, and it's like you'd think it was a startup or something. But yeah, it's going good, but it's hard work, man. It's a lot of fun, though. I'm glad I get to wake up and do what I do every day.
I mean, it's a 50-year-old business in an industry that predates the country and yet constantly is changing.
You know, yeah.
Nobody thinks about like pipe tobacco and like the world of innovation.
Dynamic. Yeah.
But that's just the case, man. You don't get to be in the game that long without realizing the change is inevitable and you're kind of constantly working
it's
through
it. It's true. It really is true. Yeah. So it's just the forces we have to deal with, but things are going well at the shop. Really proud of our staff, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's great, man. Well, I love that you start right off talking about the premium tobacco world, because that is exactly what we're going to be talking
about. We're diving into it today.
Man. Okay, so finer things. This is you know, we talk about these new episodes. Some of them have been kind of your babies. Some of them are my babies.
Yeah.
This one's my baby. Like, this is definitely one that's my baby. And with, it's... You know, the first one that we did was kind of, I mean, bold to some extent, I would even say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because of all of like the newest content, it was
a big deal.
Yeah. It was different. It was on. We incorporated some on location things for that one. And I'm hoping in the future we'll be able to do more on location type things. So this one's not going to have quite that action this time around. But I don't want to say that that'll never happen again. It's my hope that we'll be able to do more of that in the future.
Sure.
But we're talking about a finer things subject matter that we fortunately don't have to travel very far for to really get too deep into. And that is in the world of premium cigars.
That's right.
Now, this is great because, you know, for many of our listeners, you know, they probably smoked cigars before. They might be familiar. Some may be pipe, or rather cigar smokers who transitioned to pipe, or some may just, you know, kind of have a vast soiree of various experiences. I still use that word incorrectly. I need to stop that.
And I love it every time you do.
Yeah. Anyway, so the point is that, like, we're all, you know, you can't smoke a pipe and not have some sort of interaction with cigars. It's just par for the course.
Yeah, they're cousins, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're closer than cousins. They're kissing cousins, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're related, you know? They're, you know, certainly premium cigars, you know, very leaf that we use is, you know, different offshoots of the same species and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, there's a lot of interactions that happen between there. You're not going to go into a pipe shop that doesn't sell cigars, and you probably won't go into a cigar shop that doesn't sell something for, you know, a pipe smoke, at least one little thing for a pipe.
Yeah, I mean, a Missouri Meerschaum rack behind the thing.
Yeah, like something like that. So anyway, yeah, we, you know, there is a lot of crossover here. We are in Miami, and so we thought it'd be fun to talk about cigars.
And that's it, right? We are partying in the city with the heat. I need to stop that too, man. We are here in Miami, and this is a cigar town, right? Like, that's the part when we were first kind of talking about it, you're like, yeah, you know, the same family thing in Florida, it'd be really great if we could make it happen in Florida. I'm like, Florida? Really? It's like, yeah, but, you know, not like Florida that we normally go to, because, you know, if you're in Mississippi and kind of,
you go to, like,
you know,
Destin
area,
or Pensacola,
you're going to South Alabama is where you're going. I mean, like, they call it Florida, but we all know
Lower Alabama.
Exactly.
Yeah, LA.
Exactly. No, but this is like Florida. This is Miami, and it's bizarre. It can be bizarre because Miami is a cigar city.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it is. I would not classify Miami, I mean, except for the couple of weeks that we're here and we're, you know, representing and everything. Like, we've turned Miami into a pipe city for a brief time.
Right.
But let's be real. This is a cigar
city.
It's
a cigar town. Yeah.
And so what better place to dive into the world of premium cigars? And again, just kind of wanting to search after that premium experience. Sometimes you want to go big or go home.
Yeah.
We're wanting to go big. We're wanting to spend some money. We're looking for not just a premium product, but a premium experience. Mm. And that's what we're going to be diving into with cigars.
Mm.
So, John David, you know, one of the things you kind of referenced already is that there is in the pipe world, or rather in the tobacco world, there's kind of these spheres that are relatives, which is pipes and cigars. And one of the things that you and I have kind of talked about a bit off mic is just kind of the reality of, you know, what you've been experienced in kind of the central Mississippi market of a lot of cigar businesses kind of you absorbing a lot of their customer base,
yeah,
and that
sure.
sort of thing. And so having this kind of unique situation where the Country Squire, a celebrated and historied pipe shop, is also now kind of becoming the cigar hub. And those are two different worlds. They're related, but they're different. When you're going for a cigar, you kind of want this kind of like a separate kind of experience than what you want from the pipe. And that's a tension that I think it's fair to say you're still trying to navigate.
We are trying to
figure that out.
I think, you know, even as we came into the show, I was kind of, you were asking me about the shop and, you know, some of my struggle now is, you know, owning an older business that you'd think would be very mature and established and, you know, certainly we're doing okay, but it's changing constantly because of these market forces that are like, well, we're a pipe shop, but we sell cigars and we're selling a lot more cigars than we used to. And so, and cigar customers are different from pipe customers.
It's when, and that's the thing. Like,
it's a whole different mindset,
right?
Really, you know, and you can almost pick them out when they walk in the shop. It's just a different experience,
man.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's lean in hard,
right?
Which is, I mean, at the moment, that's
a little scary. Yeah.
I know. You've been trying to walk this tightrope. So I recognize and appreciate the challenge that is laid before you. I want you to lean in, take the pipe hat off, put the cigar hat on, as I know you have done many times.
Yeah.
And bring us into the world of premium cigars and that premium cigar experience.
And the premium cigar experience, obviously, it is a beautiful thing. It's something that, you know, as pipe smokers, we find a lot of familiarity with. But it also has a lot of its own art form that you might not be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of skilled hands that have to go on a individual cigar before it makes it into your mouth, you know, while you're enjoying it and lighting it up. It's amazing how many people have to have input on that one cigar,
man,
before it can get to you, and the time and care that it takes. And really, when you think about it, you think about how many they produce and how consistent they are in quality, particularly the really good ones, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
It's amazing that some of them only cost, you know, $15-$20. You know, if you think about what went into that cigar, how much overhead it takes to grow, store, cure, make sure it's all quality controlled, throwing out the ones that didn't quite make the cut. These are all handmade products. I mean, it's a hand rolled cigar, and for it to burn consistently and the construction to be right, and then for it to get to your palate in Miami or Jackson, Mississippi or Houston, Texas or wherever you are, it's kind of amazing that it doesn't cost more than what it does. You know?
It really is.
It really, really is. And so, and it's funny to hear myself say that because, you know, people still come in and they're like, oh, I remember when, you know, you could buy, you know, King Edward cigars at the Piggly Wiggly for, you know, a nickel or whatever. And boy, cigars were so cheap back then. And they were cheap. They were, you know, it's a different beast to some extent. But a handmade cigar that has a lot of thought put into it is a different experience. And it's a flavorful experience, something that's powerful. It's something that, you know, because of the mindset, but also the physiology of it. It has an effect on your body that's very calming and relaxing, which in some ways is very similar to a pipe. A premium experience with a cigar is a special thing.
So can I offer up perhaps it's a stereotype.
Yeah,
because I guess
of
I
course.
Think this is Country Squire Radio. I'm like, what else are we going to?
That's
do?
What we major in. Yeah,
that's what. Anyway, I, you know, and I'll go ahead, I guess, and apologize to our cigar smoking listeners. But when I think about who a cigar smoker is, or perhaps maybe who I want to be as a cigar smoker, like as somebody who's going in,
yeah,
I think as somebody who walks in with confidence, I think as somebody who goes up into the humidor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, peruses for a moment, knows, but beyond that, knows exactly what they want,
mm-hmm.
knows how to order what they want, knows whether or not they can pick it up or if somebody has to touch it. Because, you know, sometimes you don't know in some of these humidors, especially in the modern era.
Yeah, sure.
And then goes behind the counter. Like, whoever I just bought it from cuts it right there for me. I know how to tell them the kind of cut I want because there's a couple of different cuts. And I want to know what that premium one is that lets them know I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to sit in the lounge after they've torched and lit my cigar for me.
Right.
And I want to be able to sit and puff and
do it with authority. Confidence.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting because when I think about, you know, a pipe smoking experience, very different.
Yeah.
You know, not like you don't like get, there's a confidence level that comes into a confident pipe smoker, but sure. I think of like more of like a professor, like more of a contemplative person. Mm-hmm. It's more about the power of your mind. Whereas I feel like the cigar is more about kind of just like that power. You know what I mean? Kind of I think you said that kind of the authority that making a statement of confidence in the way in which you kind of approach cigars and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, John David, I don't know how to do that.
You don't have that.
I don't know what to say. No, I do have that.
Right.
But I don't know how to do that. You see what I'm saying? That's my point is I want to, for our listeners that want that.
Yeah.
How, like, I want to educate them.
How do
and
they
more enter, accurately, I want you to educate me.
How do you enter into that space? Yeah,
exactly. Well, what are the words? What are the lexicon? That sort of thing.
And a good thing to start is just with some of the terminology and definitions of cigar. So let's start there, I guess. A good cigar is made of three different components. It's made of the filler, the binder, and the wrapper. And when we say wrapper, we're not talking about the cellophane on the outside. We're talking about the actual leaf that covers the outside of the cigar.
Now, this is good to point out. So, right. You know, you look at a cigar, you see the leaf, you know, the leaf texture wrapped around.
Yeah.
But isn't the interior of the cigar just constantly like wrapped around like that?
It's all different. Right.
Is that
and
right?
So all the cigar, every piece of the cigar is a different varietal, a leaf varietal, because they all play a different role in the game.
Wow.
Within the symphony that you're kind of orchestrating here. So the filler tobacco that creates the center portion of the cigar, this is the leaf where some of your flavor, but a lot of your power, your strength, all of the combustion properties kind of come from this layer. So the center portion of the cigar, you know, a lot of Ligero leaf is used here, which is the upper portion of the Criollo plant. And these are leaves that have, you know, a stronger, more robust flavor and tend to give the cigar more of its strength. That surrounding the filler is your binder tobacco. Binder tobacco tends to be tobacco that's more of a structural wrapping standpoint. You're basically just trying to hold the cigar together, but it again has its own flavor characteristics. And then so much of the flavor of your cigar comes from the wrapper, outside leaf,
which I suppose makes sense because that's where your taste buds are first engaging with
it's also getting exposure to the most heat and air, but it's also just typically a very flavorful and potent leaf. So that's where a lot of your flavor is going to come from, is that wrapper on a cigar. And that's where a lot of the characteristics of, you know, when you look at a cigar and you say, oh, that's a Connecticut Shade, or that's a Maduro, or that's a Sumatra, a lot of times you're referring just to that outside leaf that's there.
Interesting.
But two Connecticut Shade cigars can be very different because of all the internal components that are inside. And so
kind of the, it's almost like a red velvet cake as opposed to like a chocolate cake. I mean, it might have the exact same icing, and the icing is going to define a lot about what that taste flavor that you're going to be dealing with.
That's right.
But there could be completely different beasts.
The sponge, as it were, is different on the inside.
Right,
and so it makes the cake very fundamentally different. So,
interesting. Okay.
That's why when you go into a humidor, it's so tempting to look at a light colored cigar, like a light brown cigar, and say, you know, I bet that cigar is kind of mild. I'll get that cigar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you go over here and there's a really, really dark cigar and you're like, man, I bet that cigar is strong.
Packs a punch right there, yeah.
And a lot of times that's not accurate.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of times it's not accurate. And so just knowing that, just knowing when you're walking into a humidor and trying to select a cigar, if, you know, hopefully you've got a tobacconist there that's going to be helpful in the process. But a lot of it, you know, depends on what's up underneath the hood, right? it kind of comes with the territory that you have to explore a little bit more. So you've got these three components of the cigars, and then even within that, the cigar might be made of a whole bunch of different leaves. Within the filler itself isn't just one tobacco leaf. You might have three or four different varieties of tobacco leaves that make up the filler. Also the case for the binder, although less common. And it is even sometimes the case for a wrapper. Sometimes we see nowadays the popularity of these barber pole cigars that are actually wrapped in different shades of cigar.
Definitely
on the outside.
Cool-looking cigars. For sure.
Cool looking cigar, yeah. Very hard to manufacture. And so, you know, as the cigar is rolled, it's got the leaf that's been twisted around it to give it that appearance, and also is going to change flavor a little bit as you're smoking the leaf. So
So that's actually a question I wanted to ask about those kind of wrap when they're wrapped like that, because I think about the fact that the wrapper cigar does impart that amount of flavor.
Right.
But I assume that's the case because of specifically what your mouth is on and not necessarily what you're actually smoking. But you're saying that the flavor that you're getting, even as you're kind of pulling in the smoke, is pulling more heavily from the wrapper than the sponge.
The filler.
See, that's the thing. You're saving me so I can go in and not,
You're doing great. You get to look like an idiot here with me so that when we go to the cigar bar, you don't look like an idiot.
Exactly. Right? I want a pretty woman at a cigar bar.
And I'll look like an idiot just because I look like an idiot wherever I go.
It's more of wait, what was the one with the My Fair Lady? Well, My Fair Lady is a cigar bar is what it is.
Right, right.
You have no idea what I'm referencing. It's fine. Keep going.
So anyway, once you kind of understand the mechanics, how a cigar is put together, then you can appreciate what it takes to select the proper one. I think for a really top shelf cigar experience, we have to separate a few terms here. So remember when we did our tasting wheel kind of expose, right?
Very popular series. So many people
very
learned
popular
a lot from
series.
That, yeah.
Really proud of how we delved into some of those items, and we were careful to separate a few terms there. That you have two spectrums here that are kind of parallel to one another. One spectrum is the power of the cigar. It's how powerful is the cigar. Does a cigar come across as, oh man, that's something I need to smoke on a full stomach kind of thing, or oh, that cigar is really light. I can just, puff that cigar real quick while I'm, golfing or, on a walk or whatever. So you've got this power level, but then you have a flavor richness level, like a level that's more like, no, this one tastes earthy and chocolatey and bold, or this one tastes grassy or hay-like. We kind of start thinking in our pipe tobacco helmets, about, English blends versus Virginias versus aromatics, and you've got those aromatics that are sweet and very approachable, but they're really strong because they have a lot of burley in them, and burley has a lot of nicotine. Well, cigars are the same way. You've got a cigar that might taste kind of mild. It's got a light flavor to it, but then the strength of it is something that affects your physiology more because it's got more nicotine. Just how it reacts with your body is different. And so you've got two kind of levels going on here. So you have to know, okay, I want a cigar that is going to be full-bodied, which means rich in taste and flavor. But I want something maybe that's not going to be as strong. And so I want something that tastes bold but isn't going to knock me over kind of thing.
Right.
Then you can find all kinds of combinations like that. Or I want a mild cigar that has some kick to it. A mild cigar that tastes kind of mild and approachable. But, I want to know after I smoked it that, man, I smoked a cigar. Kind of got my heart thumping a little bit, right? So all those different combinations within the cigar world exist. And a good tobacconist can help you identify those things. We've got a few cigars with us today, some things that I thought we'd kind of refer to a little bit. One of the cigars, the Ashton VSG that comes in that tube, it is a beautiful, beautiful cigar. Do you want to kind of identify what you're looking at there?
Yeah. So, all right. So this, it's interesting. So as we were kind of like prepping for this episode and kind of discussing it and everything else, you were bringing out all these cigars, and I know we're going to reference all these, but, and I see what I generally see when I walk into any humidor, bunch of boxes, and you got your sticks, and they got the wrapping, the plastic wrapping on them, and that sort of
cellophane,
thing. Cellophane, thank you. And so I'm looking, and I'm seeing that, and then you pull out this looking thing, which is, it's like a plastic-covered cigar, right? Kind of a tube, like almost like a test tube, essentially.
Yeah.
Completely black, except for bands of gold all around. And when you pull this out, I was like, That right there,
that's top shelf.
That's that feels top shelf. Like, but I know that's not always the case. I know that like sometimes the wrapping does not necessarily mean that you're dealing with a premium product. Sometimes it may be compensating for something. So I mean, like this
that's
one's
right. clear. Yeah.
Like so, but the fact that you brought this to me means that the fact that this is coming in like a test tube, like you know, nuclear
plutonium
yeah. type of situation. It you know, Ashton with their you know gold. Crest with the two lions
yeah.
literally licking a crown eclipse written in the most like fantastic like calligraphy. This is communicating something to me, John David.
Yeah.
And you just handed to me in this context. Is this communicate? Is it lying to me or is it being earnest? Like, is this quality right here?
That cigar is quality. That's the cigar. I had two cigars at my wedding, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
And that cigar is very flavorful. So the Ashton VSG, stands for Virgin Sun Grown. This blend has been around since 1999. It's a Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Now, what that means, the Sumatra wrapper, the island of Sumatra, this is an Indonesian island, but they take this leaf that has this real zestiness to it, and they grow it in Ecuador. Ecuador is a shade-covered, or a highly cloud-covered, elevated region in South America. And so the cloud cover there kind of creates almost like a filter system for the sunlight. And so it's going to interact with that Sumatran leaf in a way that gives it a complex, delicate flavor. So even though it's robust and it's strong, it has some delicate nuances to it that are just very hard to create. But you're able to create it because the cigar growing region in Ecuador where they do this is just very conducive to that. That cloud cover is so important. And so it's a bold cigar. It's incredibly smooth. It's got, you know, notes of that black pepper and espresso and, you know, soil. It's just, it's got a lot going on, but it's also very palatable. It's something that, you know, is not going to just knock you over if you're totally, I don't know, not ready for it kind of thing.
So speaking of not ready for it, I hope this is okay. Obviously, you know, you've seen me do this as you're talking. I've busted the cap off.
Yeah, and pull the cigar out. That's
okay,
great.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so
and this is a cigar tube.
This
and
is
so,
a cigar tube, yeah.
Some cigars that, you know, are at this price point will start to come kind of in these tubos, which will help protect the cigar leaf.
And this, so. I'm assuming this is as is, right? Like there wasn't also some cellophane that was wrapped
That's
around
right.
this or anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, I noticed that, you know, it popped off, you know, fairly easily, but this tube actually, does this provide something of kind of the same benefit of a humidor in and of itself? Or is it that they both kind of work together?
It's a both and thing. Yeah. The tube really, you know, it's kind of a selling point thing. Some people really do prefer those tubo cigars because they, it can kind of protect the outside of the leaf, you know, and makes it convenient to travel and that type of thing. But in essence, the tube is really more of a kind of a marketing ploy. It's just a nice package for
okay,
the cigar
all right,
to come
so that's
in
what I really and, wanted to argue.
And that
kind
of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And so a lot of folks don't even like them, you know, just because they take up more space or that kind of thing. So they'll actually remove the cigar from the tube before they put it in their humidor.
Interesting.
Or okay. something like that. So,
that's good to know.
But the VSG, fantastic cigar, it's something that's going to give you that balance of a full-bodied cigar, something that's going to taste real rich and full, chocolatey with these notes of espresso and pepper. But the strength, although strong, is not a super powerful cigar.
Right.
So it's something that if you want to kind of ramp up your flavor profile a little bit in the cigar world and smoke something maybe a little stronger than you're used to, but not something that's going to overwhelm you, the VSG is a good bet.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. Good deal. All right. So let's see. What else we got here?
Yeah. So the other one I really want to reference today is going to be that Opus X that you've got right there.
I feel like I've heard this.
And you probably have.
Talk about the Opus X.
You know,
yeah.
the Squire has been a Fuente shop for, you know, a very long time. What you're holding in your hand here
is Fuente
is
the manufacturer?
It's Arturo Fuente.
Right.
It's a Dominican leaf, Dominican brand. And this particular cigar, that so years ago, I guess it was early 90s, they came out with a Dominican Puro line of cigars. When you hear the word Puro, what that means is that every leaf in that cigar came from one country.
Okay.
And so when it's a Dominican Puro, every leaf in that cigar came from the Dominican Republic.
This is a regional experience to some extent.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's kind of the goal in that. So what Fuente wanted to do at that point was create a cigar that really showed off all the best that the Dominican Republic had to offer in a cigar. Okay, that cigar that they came out with was very strong. It's called the Opus X. It was very, very hard to get in the 90s. It's still relatively hard to get now, although not nearly as much as it used to be. But, you know, that cigar was very strong. What they did, they came out with this version that you're holding now called the 20th Anniversary. It's a blue ribbon label. It's very, very, very attractive.
It literally has a blue ribbon around the...
It is. It's a stunning... If you give it as a gift, you're like, wow, that's very impressive, you know. And this is a Dominican Puro as well, but they've put a milder blend into the cigar. And so you're getting a similar experience. There's a zestiness there, a nuttiness that you get that's there that is unique to that Opus X Dominican Puro experience, but you're getting it in a milder package compared to the original Opus. And so it's a favorite of mine. It's something that is a real treat to smoke.
Flavor-wise, with the wrapper, what would you say there?
So it's a mild cigar from a strength standpoint. It's one of those cigars that, you know, you can smoke it on a relatively empty stomach and not get yourself in trouble kind of thing, as long as you're not inhaling it. But it's a cigar that is medium bodied as far as its flavor profile goes. And so it's bready, it's nutty. This is a good cigar that's going to go with a nice cup of coffee or, you know, high sugar content bourbon or something like that. And so,
Walking the streets of Miami? How would it taste?
I think walking the streets of Miami, you'd look like $1 million smoking an Opus X in Miami. I think so.
So let me ask you this, because you mentioned, of course, blue ribbon, because this thing does have literally a blue ribbon around it.
Yeah.
But it also has a blue ribbon, which is wrapped around what appears to be some form of kind of paper that's wrapped around it, which is also wrapped around kind of the band, which looks like it actually has two bands around it.
It's a fancy cigar. That paper you reference is actually cedar.
Is that right? Well, I was going to say it looks like wood, but I didn't know if it was like faux wood or something like that.
No, it's a thin strip of cedar.
Goodness gracious.
Spanish cedar and cigars have a long history together.
Really?
There's something about the cedar, how it imparts its own flavor and characteristics into the cigar. Cedar also is really good at helping to regulate humidity.
Yeah.
Cedar's very thirsty. And so as the cigar gets...
Aren't we all?
Especially this time of day. So as the cigar gets exposed to more and more humidity, the cedar is as well. And the cedar is going to soak up some of that. And as the cigar gets into maybe a drafty environment or, you know, a box is opened and shut over and over, the cedar is going to help the cigar regulate its own humidity level.
That's awesome, man. All right, but this is what I wanted to ask you about, because so much of it, aside from this, you know, the silicone wrapper that's around it as well, is you've got all of those wrappers.
Yeah.
I see people who seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They pick up a cigar and they run it along their nose as if it was like a mustache that they were, you know, a mustache that they were just, you know, combing back and forth over their nose as they breathe in.
That's right. Yeah.
And so... So there's a couple of questions I have around that whole practice. One is, when you've got like a cigar like this, I would imagine it's not kosher to take out the cigar and then like put your hands all over it and rub it up against your nose to determine whether or not you want to buy it.
Yeah. If you do that, you've bought the cigar.
You've bought the cigar. Right.
So, I'll never forget this gentleman in our gentleman, use that term loosely, in our... in our humidor, and he was looking at the cigar, and then we were telling him about some, it was JD actually, who, not me, but the other one that was helping him. And the guy was kind of comparing a few cigars, and JD was trying to help him pick one out. And the guy just took one and put it in his mouth. And JD just kind of looks at him and he said, "Well, you bought that one."
right.
You know, you bought that cigar. And I will say, though, once you purchase the cigar, that's part of the experience of it. The cigar has, you know, we think about all the nuances that you get to enjoy with pipe tobacco and all the elements of the ritual that you get to enjoy. You know, as a pipe smoker, we enjoy crumbling the flakes apart or preparing the leaves to be, you know, loaded into the bowl and doing it at just the right measure so that it's got the right firmness as far as the tamping and all that stuff when you're ready to light your, you know, do your false light and then your full light. And your cigar is the same way, pulling it out of the cellophane, smelling the foot of the cigar to really take in the notes that you get there, and smelling the wrapper of the cigar. you know, you're tasting on the cigar, you're tasting the smoke, but you're also with your tongue tasting the outside of the leaf. When you cut the cigar, which is the next part in the process, with a nice cutter, and you've cut it properly, taking a pull, a draw on the cigar with it being dry, with it not being lit. So, you know, even that in itself, getting some of that flavor from the cigar, it's kind of priming your palate for what you're about to experience. And then as you're smoking the cigar...
Is that practice? Is there a name for that practice? Not that you're aware
of? Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But just, you know, taking that initial draw on the cigar before you light... Probably is a name for that I've forgotten.
Well, the reason I ask is because, all right, so I'm trying to think of like the last time I was in New Orleans was, I can't remember if it was with you or with my siblings, but regardless, we went to the cigar factory. I mean, it's a ritual. It's part of it.
Yeah, if I'm in New Orleans, you got
to
go there.
I go to the cigar factory. And so, you know, one of the things they do is they always, you know, you pick out your cigar, you know, they cut it for you. I mean, they ask you what kind of cut you want. And I remember like looking at them and like,
deer in headlights kind of thing. Yeah.
And I felt bad because I was like, I'm supposed to know this stuff. And then I'm like, no, I'm not. This is, we're related. We're not the same.
That's
like, it's okay that I don't know which kind of cut that I want for my cigar. I think I just said dealer's choice and went from there.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he lit it for me and everything else, which was great. But I feel like when that happened, I didn't get that opportunity to taste it.
Yeah.
Because he was lighting it without, you know, just, you know, with torching it up and then handing it to me and everything.
Yeah. And a lot of times you don't unless you sit there and, you know, kind of know how to do the lighting and cutting yourself. And,
right.
And go through those, you know, those steps. But yeah, you know, so enjoying those little pieces of it. Also, feeling the cigar in your hand, rolling it in your hand to actually see the suppleness of the leaf itself. Like, does a cigar feel brittle? Does it feel...
Is it coming apart in my hands?
Is it coming apart? Yeah. Is it crackly when you listen to it next to your ear while you're handling it? Does it sound dry? Does it sound moist?
It sounds like the wrapper.
Well, if you take the cellophane, if you take it out of the cellophane. you know, does it have... When you touch the leaf, is it leaving residual oil on your hands?
Right.
And all these are part of the experience of smoking the cigar. With cigars, there are, you mentioned the different types of cut, and so this is kind of akin to, you know, how you load your pipe up. You've got to, you know, you load it with this method or that method. With cigars, there's kind of three main styles of cut that come to mind. A straight cut or a guillotine cut is just one where you're taking off the very cap of the cigar.
And I got one of those cutters, yeah.
That's the most common nowadays. Probably second most common is what we call a V-cut. A V-cut is a wedge that you pull out of the end of a cigar.
Right.
Actually, I've got one of those here. This one is nice. This is made by Calibri, and it's wonderful because it's got a V-cut on one side and a straight cut on the other side.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
But the V-cut pulls a wedge out of the end of the cigar, and I really like that because the wrapper of the cigar, that outside leaf... If you do a guillotine cut on it, a lot of times that outside leaf will start to unravel.
Right.
Particularly if the cigar is a, you know, larger ring gauge or something like that, which ring gauge is just the terminology we use for the diameter of the cigar, what ring size it is. And so a V cut is nice because it removes a wedge of the cap of the cigar. And so it's going to draw the cigar in a little bit, make the draw just a little bit tighter, but it will keep the cigar construction more, you know, more sound while you're smoking it. So the third type of cut is called a punch. Punches are also super common, and it's basically a little circular razor that you're inserting into the back of the cigar, into the cap of the cigar, and then pulling out a small little plug.
Right,
of the end of the cigar. And these are common. Number one, it narrows the draw down on a cigar, so some people really like that because it kind of focuses the smoke to one part of your mouth. They also are very convenient. You'll see a lot of punches that people have hanging on their keychain. A lot of premium lighters, cigar torch lighters, have the punch built into the lighter. It's easy to do that with a punch. And so punches don't work on every type of cigar shape or vitola.
I was going to say like a torpedo.
Like a torpedo of a, you know, a Figurado cigar. It's going to be, although I've seen people do it and it's been really goofy, you know, you're not really, it's not really appropriate to do that punch cut on a torpedo cigar because, you know, just the mechanics of it. So on that type of cigar, typically you'll want to do a straight or a guillotine style cut.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
And then, the lighting of the cigar to me is really the most magical part. And this is where I think I have the most fun as a tobacconist, particularly when I go to these weddings.
Yeah, I wanted you to talk about that.
And do
yeah.
these, you know, we do cigar bars at weddings. Yeah. You know, you've got your, you know, your daughter, your only daughter's getting married and you're spending a fortune on her wedding. And, you know, what's one, you know, extra fun thing we can do that's
one
unique.
Thing for dad.
Yeah, one thing for pops or one thing for the groom, you know. Right. And a lot of times it's a cigar bar. Yeah. And so we've gotten into that business. It's been really neat. But that's where people really kind of awe at the cigar. And it's very akin in some sense to lighting your pipe. With the cigar, you generally will light it in two steps. So we toast the cigar. You're holding the cigar away from your face and holding the torch lighter or flame away from the foot of the cigar, the bottom of the cigar where you can see the inside of it. And you're just kind of, you're basically charring the foot of the cigar. You're getting the sugars in that cigar toasted, burned, in order to start a good, even fire. And so that toasting, that even burn, we associate this with the false light on a pipe or the false char that you do on the pipe, that initial char to get the pipe really ready to be lit in earnest, you know. And so you'll kind of toast the foot of the cigar, likely while turning the cigar to make sure it's evenly toasted. And then you put the cigar in your mouth and you puff the cigar while lighting it again. And so you're lighting it again with the cigar in your mouth, puffing on it, being sure not to inhale. And that two-step process will really ensure that the cigar is very evenly lit and that it burns at a very consistent diameter. The thing about a cigar, you think about it as a cross-section. The reason why it's important that a cigar burns evenly instead of tunneling or, you know, getting bowed out on one side or, you know, if a cigar does that, it's not, the recipe of the cigar is meant to be smoked in a cross section.
Okay.
So if it's smoked at an angle, if it's burning at an angle, if it's burning at some weird, in some weird angle, even though it's smoking, it's burning, it's not, you're getting more of one flavor than you're supposed to.
Right.
You're getting more of this flavor or that flavor than you're supposed to. So right. It's very important as you smoke the cigar for it to be burned in a cross section. And that's why people will keep a lighter handy while they're smoking a cigar.
To even it out.
They'll touch it up. Yeah. And a lot of times you'll see people take the cigar out of their mouth and they'll kind of touch up this side or that side to make sure that it's burning. They'll kind of help the cigar catch up a little bit. And a lot of times if a cigar starts to burn unevenly, if it's a really good cigar, it'll self-regulate. It'll kind of help itself, you know, catch up.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the experience, you know. And then, of course, you know, the process of smoking the cigar is akin to smoking a pipe, except it's a lot less fidgety. You know, you're not constantly taking your cigar and, you know, having to really work it like that pipe requires the care that it does. And so, and that's why some people like a cigar more. But anyway, that's the enjoyment of it. And then I will say one last thing on cigar etiquette. A cigar is really meant to be smoked all in one sitting.
Yes.
And so that's something to keep in mind. As you smoke a cigar, as you're selecting a cigar, if you don't think you're going to be spending that much time with the cigar, pick a smaller cigar. Try to pick a smaller cigar. What happens, you're fundamentally changing the chemical status of that leaf when you set the first half of it on fire.
Right.
So you've set the end on fire, you're pulling all that heat and smoke through the cigar, and a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just cut it off where I'm done with it, and then pick up the second half the next day.
That used to be me.
Well, absolutely, and you can do that, people do that, but it's very similar to when you smoke half a bowl of pipe tobacco, set it on the table, and then go back to it the next day. It kind of tastes like shoe leather.
Yeah, and why would you?
And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for it. You've literally changed the, you know, chemical structure of the leaves as you smoked it. So just keep that in mind. A cigar is meant to be smoked all in one sitting. So
right.
So anyway, just a primer, a short primer on cigar etiquette and construction and that type of thing, and hopefully it's helpful.
Man, the finer things, cigars. I'm thinking,
yeah.
I feel like we need a round two, honestly, with the subject matter.
Well, we might. Yeah, we might one day.
Something to think about. But anyway, one way or the other, man. Thanks for upping my game. I can now go in with confidence a little bit.
I hope so. Know
what I'm looking for.
If it's a good tobacconist, they'll never make you feel like an idiot. They'll try to anticipate your questions and help you make a good decision, figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Fortunately, I know a good tobacconist. You know,
I'm glad you do.
Nope. Well, that's the great thing, man, about this this world and this industry is we know so many great people that are in and out of it. And, you know, like the great people at Missouri Meerschaum, who have a really, really awesome deal going on. Every single Tuesday is Cobb Tuesday on their Facebook page where you can go. They've got different trivia questions, things they'll be putting out to the community. You want to try to get those answers in and possibly win yourself a little MM bucks. Missouri Meerschaum bucks.
MM bucks. That's right.
Cobb bucks.
Cobb bucks. Yeah.
Cobb coin. Hey, it's the new Bitcoin.
Oh, Cobb coin.
Oh.
Oh, we just started something.
We did. Okay.
Take that Dogecoin. Whatever.
Get you some Cobb coin by getting ready for Cobb Tuesday. Head over to their Facebook page. Participate there. See if you win yourself a little something. It's a great way to let Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback this week coming in from Brian, who says, "Hey guys, you addressed a question of mine on air recently when I asked about what goes into the naming of blends. Remember that one? John David talked about how it was often a very personal process. I was struck when I saw Whale Song appear on the Country Squire website." I think we were all struck.
Yeah.
Brian, when we saw Country Squire, or Whale Song appear on the Country Squire website, I know I was struck anticipation
hurt.
Of knowing that I would be in Miami and would be smoking some. But you know what? The amount of quality premium cigars he's laid in front of me.
I brought you an Opus X.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I was struck with when I saw Whale Song appear on the Country Squire website. The name didn't immediately resonate with me until I read the description. When I realized it was a limited edition made up of McClellan ingredients and that it was a Virginia Perique, which I know to be among John David's favorite style blends, I began to realize what the name really meant. Whale Song. Not only evocative of the iconic crest whale image on the cover of so many McClellan tins, but also suggestive of the barely audible songs whales use to moan the loss of a family member. This is representative of what a blend name can be. Simple, poetic, like a haiku. And again, that comes in from Brian.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah, Brian, I think you nailed the essence of it. You know, tobacco names are, they are very important, you know, to how you experience the tobacco. We had several names kind of that were on the cutting board, you know, that didn't make it for this particular blend. But we wanted the name of this particular blend to have weight and gravity, something that you could, Bo is just glaring at.
Well, I was going to say, like,
so upset.
There are names that were on the cutting board. I want to hear the names that were on the cutting board.
You won't. You won't hear the names on the cutting board. And you know, the thing is,
I'm going to get those names off air, y'all.
All blends. these tobacco blends that come out when you know, the name itself has power and it evokes emotion and all that you're trying to communicate when you're smoking the tobacco, right? And so we wanted this to have a gravity to it and a finality to it, but also a little sense of hopefulness. This is not a playful tobacco. This is a tobacco that carries some weight and some gravity.
It's storied.
Some sincerity to it. And so I think the name was appropriate. And so we try to do that when we name our blends. Yeah.
You know, we did a top 3 10 tobaccos. I think at some point we should like consider names. And I don't mean names of just 10 tobaccos, because when I think about like loose leaf, the name is the 10.
Yeah.
The name is the packaging.
That's all you get.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so that's such a big component to, especially like the blends at the Squire. I mean, not to downplay it. I mean, y'all have got kind of y'all's branding and kind of the the calligraphy that's kind of involved
but
in it.
But you think about all the, you know, other tobacconists around the country that have come up with their own tobaccos over the years and what they've named them. And, you know, a lot of those names are really powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
we need to
carry a lot of weight. Yeah.
We need to do a top 3 tobacco names. That needs to be something for the future for sure.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that down to make sure it happens. But Brian, thank you so much. What a great listener feedback. And hey, if y'all've got some listener feedback for us, head over to countrysquireradio.com, which has got all of our contact information. For example, you can write into the show at show@countrysquireradio.com, or you can tweet into the show at Squire Radio, or into the shop at _countrysquire, or John David at John David Cole. But again, all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Now, I'm reminded here, as we've just done our finer things on the cigars, that many a year ago, we actually did an April Fool's prank where we renamed the social media stuff to be, let's see if I can remember it. It was City, oh man, what was it? It was City Night with a K TV, the premium cigar podcast. No, the premium cigar television show.
Television show.
Yeah. And so it was like a complete opposite of everything that
that's
we
funny.
Were. And so, but I kind of feel like today we did become.
We did City Night
cigar
podcast TV show.
Yes.
Yep.
TV.
Minus the TV
City
show.
City Night TV. Was that it? I can't remember. Anyway.
Oh man, I had fun, man. It's a real pleasure. Pipe tobacco is my first love, and that's what brought me into the industry. But it is a real pleasure working with cigars and cigar smokers, and I love it too.
Man, so. Well, I'm very very excited about all these premium cigars that are just sitting here in Miami.
Yep.
Sitting here in Miami with us.
Yep.
And unlike Will Smith, we do light it.
We do right.
Right.
We put them in our mouth.
That's right. All right, way, man. Let's go bidet.
See you, brother.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.